All right, everybody. We are. Oh, my microphone's not working. We're live at the Study Center Wave Farm in Acre, New York, and we have on via Skype. Oh, I'm. What is that coming through now? Oh, I see. I had one channel up and one channel down. Now we're clear. On Skype here with us, we have all sorts of folks standing by. Mara Johnson from Mara Magazine is here. Mara, you want to say hello first?
Hello.
And then Edith Frost.
Howdy, everybody from Texas.
And in the band Distant Correspondent with David Obuchowski.
Hi.
Where are you at, David?
I'm in Colorado.
You're in Colorado, and Edith is in Texas. And Mara, where are you?
I'm in New York.
Ah.
Yeah.
All through the magic of the internet.
That's true.
And the magic of the internet is, I think, what brought us here to talk today, because I know most of you mostly from Twitter, I think.
We all know each other from the internet. It's true.
Yep.
Yeah, I was a fan of Edith before I was really aware of the internet, but it was the internet that finally brought us together after many attempts.
Your band started through Twitter. Is that correct or not?
Yes.
Edith kind of joined through Twitter, although I have been sending her fan mail since 2001. That predates Twitter. She just finally answered.
You sent one email.
You found one email.
Did you send more than one?
Oh, yeah. I was
Oh, God. I got to look it up. I only found that one. Anyway, he had sent me an email 11 years ago, I want to say. And I never, but once we started talking on Twitter, like in October, he told me that. And I had apparently never replied. So I went and searched and I found it. And I wrote back too, really joking, because it was, he was in a completely different life scenario at the time. So I replied as if it was it was current. It was very funny. Mm. But sorry about that, David.
you've made it up to me.
A little bit belated.
Edith made it up to me because I originally contacted her to just do guest vocals on one song. And you know what? She made it up to me by singing on every single song and joining the band completely. So, you know, we're square.
Well, yeah. Give me an inch. We'll take a mile.
So does that make you the fire hose for the Twitter era? Are you Ed from Ohio?
I don't know about fire hose. I'm into country music and stuff. I don't know. No, I know. It's like that's one of those bands that I have none of their records because I just had my head up my derriere during it.
I wasn't making so much a musical joke as joining through. Didn't Ed write to Mike Watt first, like through the regular mail?
I'll have to consult. Our band could be your life, and like get back to you.
Well, Mara might know.
I do not know. I'm sorry. Okay. This piece of mythology is out of my purview.
That's David's film, yeah.
Like I said, I have Our Band Could Be Your Life a few feet away. If I need to look it up, I will. I'm sure it's in there.
And so how long has Distant Correspondent was a band before Edith then? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Distant Correspondent actually started as anything that I did that wasn't Goes Cube, because my other band is Goes Cube. We're a metal band, and really for just like a, I don't know, 7 years, I didn't play anything but metal. And then I finally like got a little time where I started writing stuff that wasn't metal, and I just kind of slapped the Distant Correspondent name on it. I never did anything with it. It was just a way to almost file it away. But then my wife and I moved down to New York, and I started kind of taking it a little bit more seriously about, oh, maybe I can kind of do some of this stuff. And so it sort of evolved as I started working with a couple other people into Distant Correspondent. And it really – Edith joining was a thing that – cemented it. So it wasn't like it was this established thing before Edith. It was just that when she joined it, that was it. Things were sort of already kind of evolving, but she cemented it, and we really hit the ground running.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Edith Frost and David Ubachowski from the band Distant Correspondent, and Mara Johnson from Mara Magazine, which has just released a Distant Correspondent track. I guess the first since Edith has joined, or
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's yep. And that's called Merge, and that's in Mara. You want to tell us about your magazine a little?
Oh, sure. Mara Magazine, it launched last month, and I'm working with this company that's based in New York City called 29th Street Publishing. You know, I've been working as an editor now for about 6.5 years, and I think that, you know, I wanted to get into sort of cultural journalism that was not necessarily based in the whole ideal of chasing page views and chasing, you know, traffic and Facebook shares that are like, look at this stupid thing that somebody wrote that I can't believe I'm showing you, like the, I guess I call it like the, this milk is so sour, here, try it, you know, idea that powers so much of, you know, annoying internet content. So, you know, but I know that there are a lot of stories that, you know, and a lot of good writers that want to tell interesting stories about culture. And 29th Street has it set up so that it's right now the magazine is only available through the iTunes newsstand. So you can get it on like an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod Touch. But we're working to get, you know, other formats, including, you know, maybe Android or web, or even we're looking at like prototypes for a print edition. So it's a weekly, and it's available through the iTunes newsstand. This week has a really great piece on how the Smiths breaking up when they did probably torpedoed their chance at becoming like gigantic rock stars, because it was right after the Pretty in Pink soundtrack came out. And, you know, Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want is on there. And that probably would have broken them in America. But is it a bad thing? You know, would the Smiths be the same if they weren't cult heroes? We don't know. So right. That's one piece. And then, you know, we've had a bunch of other pieces on, you know, I wrote about the TV show Enlightened, which I love and which is really great. And this Andy Beta, who wrote for me when I was the music editor at the Village Voice, wrote a piece on the connections between instant replay and dub music and
9 to 5.
And then, and I wrote about 9 to 5 too. I wrote about 9 to 5 and Mitt Romney's binders full of women comment, you know. So just a bunch of stuff from sort of all over the map and, you know, getting really in depth, but also not having to, you know, maybe take a position that is not true, and also not having to enumerate anything in lists of numbers multipliable by 5. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Spotify started because I wanted to see if they had the Law and Order noise for you. We could like finish everything you say with the Law and Order noise.
Somebody said that I should use that as my ringtone once. I don't know. That's the bit. That's sort of a big opus that I'm working on, about a piece about Law and Order that'll be coming soon, because that's been a long time obsession of mine.
So there's a link on the WGXC homepage to Mara Magazine, and if you go to the Free 103 Twitter feed, you can find Mara's Twitter. Twittering is one of your, or you do lots of Twittering.
I do. It's bad. I have a lot to say.
You're one of my favorite tweeps.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's high quality.
I try, you know, I say a lot, but mostly. I try to make it mostly good, except when I'm, you know, like arguing with somebody or whatnot.
You talk a lot about karaoke.
I do. I go to karaoke a lot. I know I went on Valentine's Day, working some Valentine's Day sweat out, but that was fun. There are just so many karaoke bars. Like,
I
right
totally
in that
want
heart
to karaoke with you, Mara.
We will. This will happen. This will happen someday.
Yeah.
All right, so and we're going through some other strange connections, and there's I guess David mailed Edith originally, but I picked up Edith's junk mail for years and years.
My God.
Because
yeah.
Edith
I'm
lived.
So sorry.
Edith, that's all right. Edith lived at the apartment that I later moved into. That that Free 103 started. We put a pirate radio station in there, and that's later become this legal FM 3,300 watt station up in the Hudson Valley. And Edith, you remembered that there was some sort of a death there in the building, like between our residencies there.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know this person, but apparently after I lived there, somebody died.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
We didn't really feel. I don't know. There was a couple times it felt kind of haunted, but it was a kind of strange place, I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty strange living there, but it was great. You know, it was on the street with the bridge on South 6th Street, where you had the huge swooping view of the Williamsburg Bridge, and so there was always movie crews using, you know,
Law and Order, actually. Law and Order, there you could see it in
like
15
on a
episodes.
Weekly basis, there would be shutdowns for movies and commercials and whatnot. They bring in rain machines and things.
Oh, wow.
It's so weird, yeah.
Yeah, there was the giant explosion. There's a bus explosion in some Denzel Washington movie. I remember living there during that, and they blew up the bus, and there was just like trash everywhere for, you know, a couple hours, and then it was all gone.
Wow. Yeah, I remember them trying to, at one point, I don't know what it was for, but trying to create a thunderstorm or a lightning storm, and they had lights up against a fan thing that had holes in it so that it would look like lightning. And they had it on, you know, up until 2 a.m. or whatever. It's like, can you please turn that thing off? Yeah, but that was good times.
Did you record there, or did you do work there?
I was at the time. I was doing, you know, home recordings on a cassette, four track. Basically, that was probably right when I first contacted. Was you know, getting the word out, trying to send my stuff to labels.
You had worked on Drag City at that point or around then?
Yeah, well, that was when that's probably when I first got a hold of them, and just before the first record came out, which was, what, 97, I want to say? That was the year after I moved away from Brooklyn was when the first album came out.
Yeah, 97 is when I moved in, and when we moved, and the radio station started there in March of 97. Yeah.
You must have been the very next tenant, I guess, or the one.
Very close, yes. Because I mean, like I said, we definitely got your junk mail. And
so, what were you getting? I want to know.
Oh, I don't. It's probably this. It was the late 90s. So it was probably coupon packets and stuff about AOL.
Value
we got a lot of AOL.
AOL CDs.
Yeah.
It's funny because in that building, that's where I got addicted to the internet, because I got CompuServe first. You and me had our first websites around the same time. Like,
yes.
And it was in that building that I did that. I had first, it was a website about cowgirls, and that was about 93, I think.
Yeah.
It was called Cowgals Home on the Web. It wasn't about me or my music at all. It was about historic cowgirls of history. Anyway, I'm blabbing.
No, this is good.
Talk to somebody else.
David, do you have a strange history on the early from the early days of the internet?
No, actually, in 1997, I was getting my first email address, which was I still remember it was my college email address, uiuc.edu. And so my first exposure to email and sort of the online thing was using Telnet in 97, and which, you know, is essentially is just like a plain text, which I thought was pretty rad. But then so I don't know, I was pretty web unsavvy. I still, you know, it's kind of weird because I'm actually still very, very unsavvy when it comes to like technology and stuff. I sort of know the basics, and yet we record all our music you know, long distance. And so that actually requires a fair bit of learning things. So what I do know is merely because I, from a practical standpoint, I have to learn it, and I'm probably doing everything the wrong way. But I'm not a savvy person when it comes to this stuff.
And so you guys, do you record long distance, or how does the collaborating work?
Basically, the normal process is that I'll come up with a guitar for a song, and I'll put it to a click track, and I'll sort of write this foundation for a song on guitar. And then it had been in the past, I would send it to our drummer slash rhythm guy, Michael, and he would put drums to it. But more since Edith joined, her and I, we have this sort of ability to work, like turn over songs extremely quickly. And so I'll send them to Edith, and Edith will not only sing to them, but she'll even she's got some keys and stuff that she can add to it. And we just generally our paths cross during the daytime. And we'll sort of debrief. We'll debrief on the song on a daily basis on like what songs we're working on, and then I'll clock out for the sort of the day around 5 o'clock to do family stuff, and then Edith just like becomes the night woman, and then when I'm waking up,
the night. What are you saying, David?
Oh yeah, good point. unintended implication there. When I wake up around, because I write like
on the internet, she does.
Yeah, when I wake up around 4:30 in the morning, and right, and when I'm waking up, I'll get like a wee transfer that had come in like 15 minutes earlier saying, well, you know, here are my vocals. I'm going to bed. And, you know, so I'm just waking up. So it's actually perfect because, like, you know, the tracks are still hot. You have to wear oven mitts when you take them out of the internet and put them into the program to mix them. So that's the general process.
Well, it has been. I mean, we're a brand new band, though. So I don't want to set it in stone that it's always going to be this way, because I want you to write vocals too, and I want to work in all different ways. But that's just how we've been doing it for the past month or two.
Yeah, we've only got like 3 albums worth of material in that.
I know.
So.
It's crazy.
Have you played together live yet?
Edith and I have
one show as a duo in Colorado. Yeah, last month.
Edith, we're having a music video made for one of our songs right now, and it's actually in post production. It'll be out in a few weeks, and but it's been in production for months now. It's been handled by a really good director named Heather Crank, and Edith came up because Heather needed to do some filming, and so Edith said, "Well, you know what? I'll just come up to Colorado, and then we can." Do that, and we could play some music. And of course, when she said that, I called up a place that I really like around here, and I booked us a show, and promptly gave Edith a few heart attacks.
Like, you what?
Yeah, but we did it. We rehearsed quite a bit.
Too soon.
Yeah, no, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did. I practiced a whole lot.
Yeah,
a few weeks before that. And I'm still practicing because it put the terror into me that I better be able to play these songs. It's like we have a lot of songs. That was a lot to learn.
So is there a record coming out? What is the longer term plan?
The longer term plan is you know that we get a record out, and you know we tour in support of it, you know, pretty standard stuff. The record right now, that situation is sort of kind of in the process of being worked out. We're talking to some folks. There's, you know, no solid news right now. We're hoping there to be like the sooner the better. In the meantime, though, Maura did premiere our song Merge.
Yes.
We're going to be having another song premiered at another site, I think this coming week, and when we get the final date, we'll make the announcement. And then the music video will come out yet a couple weeks from there. So in the next month, essentially, we'll have 2 more songs out there. So that'll make 3 songs that people can hear from Distant Correspondent, which should be a pretty good way to get a feel for what we sound like.
And I was a little confused. What web address should you send people to? I think we have a link to the Tumblr page.
The Tumblr is sort of
That's a good one.
Yeah, and it's a way of kind of documenting the process. We sort of, when the video is done, we'll pick another thing that we're working on, and we're documenting the process really of the music video. That's the focus of the Tumblr. Our Facebook page does have Merge on it as well, so you can stream that. So our Facebook is also a decent place to go.
And Twitter.
And Twitter, of course.
I mean, Twitter, you can really watch the recording of the record like moment by moment or not yeah. not really watch, but I mean, I don't know if
you're live tweeting it.
You're not vining yet?
No. No, but I'm thinking about it.
It's fun.
You're doing it?
Oh yeah.
So I really want someone to do a looping video of somebody wrapping an audio cable around their arm. You know how you do that?
Like
that's my idea.
When you're cleaning up the show afterwards. That's what you mean? Know, that yeah, kind of wrapping up the cable.
Like you do junk, junk, junk around with your hand and your elbow.
Right.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay. I think that would be a great looping video. Somebody needs to do that. So. Whoever does it, send me the link.
Tom, I can tell you that it's not just after a show that you do that. Edith spent about 4 days with us at our house, and she's doing that for seemingly for 24 hours straight for 4 days. Constantly doing
cables.
She had plenty of cables. It was this constant looping of cables.
I forgot at the beginning, I was going to see if we set a rule that we only talked in 140 characters at a time. But have you found that your songs are getting shorter?
No, they're actually getting longer.
David is a writer of very long songs.
But in Goes Cube, you know, my other band, it's even long songs in Goes Cube are actually quite short because we play them so fast. They're always so fast. So there'll be a song that has like seven parts, and it's like, oh, it's a minute 45 because three of them are like grindcore parts. So
you do the coda thing that in my songs. In my solo stuff, I've never done that, where you have a whole song and then this other part that's amazing. That's, hold up your lighters. Here's a different, you know, section.
That's a big goal, yeah.
Yeah, but that really tacks on another minute and a half, usually.
Yep. Yeah, we have we do this thing where sometimes I'll send her a new song and we'll be on sort of chat and she'll kind of give me the play-by-play as she's listening. And she knows that's coming up because she'll actually predict it. She'll go, okay, I'm at the clearing now, so here comes the big end. So.
It's not always like the last one we did didn't have that. It was just a normal.
Yeah.
It ended. And once it ended, you know.
Yeah.
So which is good. You know, keep them on their toes.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Edith Frost and David Ubachowski of the band Distant Correspondent and Mara Johnson from Mara Magazine, I guess, about a new musical age online is the theme here somehow. Mara, I guess I know you two best from one day last year, I guess, when you left the Village Voice left you.
We broke up. Yeah.
but kind of on Twitter that day, in a kind of network kind of way.
Oh, okay. You know. Oh no, well yeah, I mean I was definitely very unhappy with the way that things were going at, you know, The Voice. So, you know, I think us cutting ties was sort of an inevitability. But I think that the web is really hard right now. You know, you have a lot of people trying to make money. Off a model that rewards only sort of monster Goliath traffic, right? And so everyone is sort of running to the lowest common denominator, whether it's like, I mean, I saw a listicle somewhere that was like 36 musicians who are alive. And it's like, you know, like people are going to click that. I'm not even making this up. That was an actual thing. And people are
I don't know if
that.
I can name that.
We have two right here. 34 to go. But, you know, and I think that, you know, the pressure that I was under was just very, I snapped that day. I totally snapped, but it's fine. I snapped in a way that I think was in keeping with the overall ethos of my work. And, you know, I wish The Voice the best. I hope that they figure out, you know, a way to make the internet work for them. Cause I think that right now the banner ad model is sort of slowly dying. You kind of see it, you know, you see tensions about it all over, you know, you know, there was a blog post last week on Reuters that was called "Here's another blog post that won't make any money," you know, because just the model is so broken that you need so many people in order to visit a site and look at an ad in order to just bankroll even the most innocuous and not very expensive content, that there needs to be a better way. So the subscription model that I'm trying out right now is, you know, an attempt to forge a better way. And I mean, yes, it's 99 cents an issue. You know, yeah, you have to pony up $30 a year, But at the same time, like, you know, people in New York and in other metropolitan areas go out to a bar and they'll spend that much money on, you know, two rounds of drinks for them and their friends. So,
it's similar to what Andrew Sullivan is doing now too.
Yeah, yeah. Although he's doing like a web model, you know, and he is doing. He also is just accepting straight up donations. I am not doing that yet. I'm just doing the subscription revenue at the moment. So,
I wonder if, and you probably thought this through because that you're doing this. But to me, it seems like, well, yeah, I'd maybe subscribe to Andrew Sullivan. I'd maybe subscribe to Mara Magazine. But then after a while, it sort of adds up to like a lot of money when you're like getting all the, you know, paying for all the things that you read online regularly.
Yeah. Thing is, you know, I mean, I used to subscribe to, you know, 10 magazines back, you know, in the day too. I mean, and I think also people, when there's, you know, when that expectation is set on both sides, it's tough. I mean, but this
you've got to get that worldview back where people would subscribe to magazines, like, you know, people aren't, you know, how people aren't subscribing to print magazines as much anymore. So,
right. And, you know, also, I mean, there's just so much stuff out there, and it's like, there have been so many times when you're promised something by a link or by a headline and it doesn't follow through for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, obviously baiting people and doing the bait and switch, or if it's just not well written or well thought out or well edited. And I mean, this is, you know, not to get all lofty, but I mean, I'm basically saying, like, look, trust me and I'll give you, you know, four or five really good pieces every week that the writers are getting paid for. Because I believe that, you know, this way they're also motivated to do their best work. They're not getting paid a lot. I wish I could pay them more, but, you know, they're getting paid more than $0, which I think is really important.
And hopefully soon. I mean, you've just started. How many issues?
Issue 7 just came out on Thursday. It comes out Thursdays. And the cover of the issue is really fantastic. It's a picture of Molly Ringwald that's been sort of like put all over the front. This guy Tim Moore does all the covers, and he is inspired by the fact that I wear a lot of printed dresses. So every week has a different print, so to speak, on the cover.
And you have a very eclectic taste too. Is that safe? How would you describe the what you cover musically?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just music either. You know, it's film and it's technology. You know, and we have fiction. Jamie Attenberg, who is an author who just wrote a book called The Middlesteins, is selecting a fiction piece every month for us from the writers that, you know, she knows and doesn't know, just that she trusts. I mean, I think I just want stories that are to be told that are interesting and, you know, that are maybe different than what you might expect the conventional wisdom to say about a particular piece of culture, or even just like to spotlight a piece of culture that might not be written about very much. I mean, the reason I wrote about, you know, that show Enlightened is because I feel very strongly about that show. I think it's great. I mean, it's on after Girls on HBO every Sunday night. You know, for every like 50 Girls pieces, there's like one thing about Enlightened, and I'm like, there's so much to say. I know that, you know, Laura Dern isn't like 20-something woman who is like, I guess, the ultimate cultural mirror in a lot of ways, but, you know, she's like, it's a really well-written and beautifully acted show.
And do you have other musical tracks to offer besides Distant Correspondent here?
Distant Correspondent was the first and so far the only. So we shall see.
So they're very special.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I only, you know, it's, again, it's a question of passion. It's a question of, like, is this art and is this work that, you know, made by people who are great and who you trust? And I mean, I've been listening to Edith's music now for many years, and I've been listening to Ghost Cube too. So, you know, it's like I totally am into supporting the scene in that way, as it were.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Edith and I had talked about Mara before and how much we really liked what she's been doing. And incidentally, I was also talking with my bandmates in Ghost Cube, and I was, you know, they had heard a lot of the music and they really like it, even though it's nothing like Ghost Cube. And our bass player was like, he's a guy named Matt Tyson, and he used to have a music website called Ear Farm. And he was like, right off the bat, he was like, man, you know, you've got to get this to Mara. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh man, we know Mara. Like we're always talking around Twitter and stuff like that. And so it was this interesting thing where everyone sort of had the same idea. So when it came time, when we were finally ready to put a song out, it was like, It was. It just happened so easily.
I had sent her the music already.
Yeah.
And she was like, "No, I haven't." And I was like, "You haven't? Oh my god."
Yeah. It wasn't your typical like music industry slog of like trying to coordinate this and getting that and pitching this. It was just like everyone seemed to be sort of thinking the same thing at the same time, and it was just an awesome experience, and it came together so quickly and so well, and like, what a great fit. And it's yeah. I mean, people, you know, since then, that's I think everyone who's coming to us, you know, who we don't know personally already, anyone who's coming to a Facebook or Twitter and discovering our music is entirely because of Mara and what she's doing.
Oh, well, I try. no, it's been, it was really great the way that it worked out. And I was really happy that you guys were the first to sort of bring your music to me. Cause that meant a lot about,
you might be one of the few people that knows both bands like before this band happened. Anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people are sort of surprised that Edith and I would be working together, let alone that we would even like each other's music, when in fact I've been a fan of Edith for so long, and a lot of people can't really get their minds around like, wow, like the guy from Goes Cube and Edith Frost make music together. And it's funny because Distant Correspondent is like nothing like Edith Frost or Goes Cube. It's really like its own sound, but I think that's been kind of cool. I think it's surprised a lot of people, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good place to wrap up. Why don't everybody go around and give links to websites you want people to know about? Mara, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. If you go to maura.com, maura.com, that has all the information you need to know about Mora Magazine, and it also has a link to the Distant Correspondent song that you can download or stream.
And my website is edithfrost.com, which is a huge mess, but that's where I am.
And you can find Distant Correspondent at facebook.com/distantcorr and Twitter as well, twitter.com/distantcorr.
All right, that sounds great. We're going to play Merge now. Do you want to introduce it? And then I got it on the same computer, so I'll have to cut you off and to finish the song. But do you want to introduce the song? And then we'll go out that way?
Maybe Mara should introduce it.
Oh, geez. Well, I don't know. I just remember, you know, I really like it a lot. And it's just, it's this really nice blend of the aesthetics of Edith and David.
You're putting her on the spot.
I know. I'm like, I need editing. No,
it's a good rock song.
It is. I wrote that it was moody and pulsing. There you go.
I really like that. I think that was a good description.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you guys for joining us today. Mara Johnson from Mara Magazine, Edith Frost, and David Obuchowski from Distant Correspondent, all on via Skype. We'll say goodbye.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. And here is Merge from Distant Correspondent. Great.
Thank you.